Hello, everybody, and welcome. This is Lizzie and Justin. We are here again for another week of our Turning Towards Life conversation, and you are so welcome to be with us wherever you are, whenever you are. I'm just feeling very joyful and giggly as we're starting this. We are, Lizzie and I, we are in the middle, the end of the first weekend session of another year of our Third Space professional coaching course, and we have stepped out of a very deep and joyful time with a new group of 17 people from all over the world. It's really lovely to be doing this in the middle of that, Lizzie. It's also a bit disorientating. I'm not quite sure which world I'm in, who I am, which way is up and which way is down. But we'll find our way through. And I want to dedicate this conversation to everybody in our PCC, Professional Coaching Course, Year L. PCC L, this is for you. And for all of us, because they're all so with me. And what a thrill to have a Lizzie Wynn source to begin our conversation this week.
Thank you, Justin. I can feel my own kind of mischief / discombobulationness. I wonder what comes from being in that state as we do this. So this is actually, Justin, this is a poem that I wrote while you were talking. So this thing happens to me often when you're teaching something, when you're talking, that I find a thread of some kind and it brings a whole heartfelt world forth. And this is the fruit of your speaking, really, that how it's flowered in me. So it's called Let Me Become Orange. They say people don't change, but when you came along, it was obvious that new territory beckoned. All the ways I had begun to take myself less seriously began to make sense. Like a hungry horse hearing the shaking bucket of carrots held by the little girl as she comes to visit, I come bounding towards you, galloping, wanting to eat your carrots. And I soften so the carrots can make me orange. If I'm not open to you changing me, how can I truly receive all you've come to give?
Thanks, Lizzie. So I'm going to read it too. And just a reminder to everyone, you can always find these on our lovely turningtowards.life website and in the notes that go out with the podcast and on our Facebook group, all of those places. Let me become orange. They say people don't change, but when you came along, it was obvious that new territory beckoned. All the ways I had begun to take myself less seriously began to make sense. Like a hungry horse hearing the shaking bucket of carrots held by the little girl as she comes to visit, I come bounding towards you, galloping, wanting to eat your carrots, and I soften so that carrots can make me orange. If I'm not open to you changing me, how can I truly receive all you've come to give? If I'm not open to you changing me, how can I truly receive all you've come to give?
Thanks, Justin. Gosh, I don't really know where to start. I feel like it's... this whole feeling of receiving others. I remember when my little Vespa was born, my little girl, and my sister said to me, thank God we know how to receive people. Because what if we didn't? That we would miss all of this. We'd miss so much if we didn't know how to receive people. And that kind of dovetailed with this line of, I'm willing for you to change me, seem to be so, those things seem to be so inextricably linked. And so many things came together in this little poem, because at the moment, Vespa, who's two, likes to feed the horses. So we spend hours at the edge of the field shaking something and the horses go, and then gallop over to us. And someone was talking to me the other day about when we didn't understand about protecting our skin yet, and people used to put carrot juice or carrot slime or something all over them because it would help you tan. Anyway, all these like different disparate thoughts came into my heart, clearly. And I feel like this is one of the biggest kind of game-changing structures that has altered in me over the years, is that I can see so much of the culture that I've been brought up in telling me that I should be someone who says, right, you all conform to me. I'm powerful. I'm in charge. You guys are all going to do what I want you to do, and you're going to fall in line with me. And I see it in parenting all the time. I see it in organizations all the time. Like, I'm the boss around here. I'm the power. You're going to fall in line. And it causes so much horrible difficulty for the people who are trying to fall in line. And I think the person who's trying to have people fall in line with them, if we are that person, we miss so much of life. We miss the connection that allows us to receive life and to know people and to really know who they are. And so it feels like we could all end up in this just kind of strange ships in the night situation where we don't even know one another because we're trying so hard to get people around to our way and they don't want to come anyway because that's not the nature of humans. Just doing what they're told and then being genuinely in it, like, it just doesn't really work that way. And so this whole thing really is this big kind of heartfelt clunking in of the way the world moves is to receive one another and to allow ourselves to be changed and to look at all the ways that we're defensive and see what we can do to breathe and let it down so that actually what's here can be lived. Seems to me like it's about living rather than staving everything off and keeping everything under control. And of course, all of us have got so much to bring one another, and to miss out on all of that seems really bonkers right now.
I'm with you that there's so many different ways to begin this, and I'm loving this already, loving this conversation. So I was wondering whilst you were speaking whether maybe this is one of those things also that starts right in the place that you were talking about. So many of us early on in our lives learn that we have to resist being changed by others and then go on to be the ones easily, particularly if we're giving any kind of power or taken into a sort of power structure that might be parenting or might be an organization or might be. I want to acknowledge that not everybody gets any kind of power in their lives, but for anyone who does end up with some kind of power, it's very, very easy for us to take up this place that you said, which is, I will change you, but don't you dare change me. And I think that one of the reasons we do that is because we got born into a world where people with power go, I will change you and don't you dare change me. So it makes sense that we're vulnerable in that situation. Anytime somebody with power tries to go, I will change you for my ends and not for your ends, for my sake and not for your sake, which is a recurrent, you know, and you see it on all different kinds of levels. You can see it, it seems to me, in the big questions and struggles about equity and diversity and inclusion in our culture and about who has power and who doesn't and who gets to declare and who doesn't. Like, it's on the macro scale and it's in our families and it's in our schools and it's in our, like, it's sort of heartbreaking to me actually to think about all the times that when I speak to young people I know, particularly the young people in my own family, when they've had an encounter with a teacher who wouldn't be changed. Who was in that one-way transmission. I'll change you, but don't you dare. I won't let you change me.
Mm-hmm.
So given that that happens, it's no wonder that we very quickly build, for any other reason, the defensive structures that go, okay, so I'm going to resist that happening to me.
Mm.
And then brackets, maybe I'll make sure I do it to other people too.
Mm.
But once we're in the resisting it happening to me, we're very easily all together in that situation, Lizzie, that you're talking about, of don't you dare change me. I'm going to close myself off. And then, you know, see it in the way echo chambers get made in social media, and you see it, you know, I'll only be with those who won't change me. I'll only be in the circumstance that won't change me. And also there's big money in the not changing. I'll buy the things that people like me buy. I'll never read a book that's unlike, I won't listen to music that's... So it's such a radical, an invitation to say, okay, if I just sort of bracket that there are places where we absolutely rightly defend ourselves against the misuse of power, where we don't want to be changed because the force that is changing is not acting in our interests. Mm-hmm. And I sort of bracket that off for a moment and say, and the rest of life, where we meet one another,
yeah.
Where, and it just feels, you know, gosh, what I've known this a few times in my life, and I definitely do my best to, I realize, to practice this in the way I teach, is to go, let me be changed by you. And it's not easy to do, but in a way, because we have to give up our own, we have to let ourselves be, feel tender and shaky and not knowing. In your poem is the invitation to treat every single person as someone who might teach us something by their presence. Every single person, regardless of age, regardless of gender, regardless of skin color, regardless of economic status, regardless of qualifications, regardless of... And then we can learn from our children and other people's children and from people we've never met that we bump into in the supermarket and from our students if we have them and from the people on our teams if we lead them. Like you said, if we don't do that, I'm gonna go like even further than you said it so far. I think we're in big trouble. And then my brackets is we're in big trouble because we're so far collectively from making a culture in which that's the ordinary thing to do, to stay open, to let ourselves be painted orange by the carrots of the other.
Gosh, Justin, I was just thinking of, you know, when we come along and get, you know, shot down the chute of being born and into the world, and we have no skills. we just have gifts. We have like pure gifts is what we have. Essential life gifts, things to bring to the world, things to add. And I feel as we were talking, I was just thinking, my gosh, how, even though we can't speak at that time or report on it, when I sense into what that's like for me, for another baby, for another being, must be so strange to come with that kind of open kind of consciousness and to not be welcomed. You know, you were talking about this thing of when we arrive here, we deserve to be greeted by 1,000 smiling faces or something. And I feel really attuned to what it's like to not be welcomed by 1,000 smiling faces, given that all I am is gifts. You know, all I am is a set of newness, an embodiment of essential life with no agenda yet, no plan, no defensiveness, no nothing. I'm just a set of gifts. And how shocking it must be to not be met in that gift economy, if you like, where that's what's happening. And all of a sudden, it just seems really bonkers. The world seems really crazy in this moment for me, that's not how we're looking at things most of the time. We're not meeting people and thinking, wow, I wonder what your gifts are. I wonder what you've come to give. I wonder what your presence embodies. Like, what is that? We're so far away from just the normal, what we're all up to, what we're all doing. And in this moment, it feels really bonkers. I'm just kind of really shocked, because what else is really going on other than us relating to one another, receiving one another, being with one another? Never think of what I'm going to feel like when I'm on my way out of here. All of that suddenly feels so crucial and so important, that we've received one another, that we haven't just been plonked to blindly crash around on the earth or something, but that we've been witness to, we've been in receipt of, we've genuinely taken people into our beings and welcomed them, and we have been welcomed ourselves. I don't really know what else there is to do right now in this moment.
I was thinking about just now about the kind of question it would be possible to ask ourselves. And you could ask it in any role, any identity that you take up in life. And the question could go along the lines of, it would be like a reflection question. So you look back over your day and you could ask yourself the question, how was I changed by the people I met today?
Mm.
Or I prefer that one to, what did I learn from the people I met? Because that makes it sound like learning ideas, which may be part of it, but it's a sort of bigger question that you're asking. That's why I love turning orange. It's not like I ate some carrots, but that you gave me, but it's like, how was I changed by the people I met? And you could be you could be as radical as you like with that question. So for any of us who are parents, we could ask, and if there's other people who are co-parenting, it's good, you could ask one another this question, like, how was I changed by our children today? And we might find out, like, not at all. I just held the line. I made sure they fitted into my way. How was I changed by my babies?
Yeah.
But then also, how was I changed by my colleagues? But also, I want to go, I sort of got into this, which felt really lovely to me, for me to think about, and also quite tender, because it sort of opens my eyes and my heart to a kind of way of paying attention. How was I changed by the person who ran the things I was buying in the supermarket through the checkout?
Mm.
How was I changed by the person who made a coffee in a coffee shop? How was I changed? And when we get into that kind of question, it's quite easy. I notice that I could go quite easily, I don't even remember that person. They were just the person who was serving the coffee. But what if we come to every encounter, let's just start with human beings, let alone any other kind of being at the moment, with this kind of, I'm going to let myself be affected by you. Also, what we would learn about one another. So the person making coffee suddenly becomes a whole person, not just a one who was there to make coffee, but maybe she has a family and a history and hopes. And maybe even if we don't talk about that, she has a way of doing things.
Yeah.
A way of speaking, or a way of moving, or a way of making eye contact, or a way of making coffee. And I could open myself to that. And if I did that, and actually the truth is I do this often, because of the kind of conversation we've been in, and it feels very important to me. I also don't need to, I feel way less separate. I feel way less like a sort of billiard ball bouncing through the world, bouncing off other people, and much more like a sort of open, flowing, receptive something. But also my life is full of wonder, because people are wonderful and rich and vast and deep and surprising in ways that we can barely know. And I don't need to fill my time so much with watching the next exciting movie, and I love exciting movies or TV shows. I'm not making a point about them, like there's something bad about them, but the sense of my life is empty, I'm going to have to fill it with something. It turns out if we let ourselves be filled by the people we're around in the ordinary everyday, that is not so ordinary everyday, actually.
Yeah. Gosh, I'm finding it so, I think this might be like a lifelong everyday. I feel like what's going through my mind is, how do I get this like tattooed onto my wall, so that everywhere I'm looking and whoever I'm being with, how am I allowing you to change me? And I think so many times, Justin, we have these grand openings in our lives, which can feel horrible and tragic and painful and wonderful and all the things, where things are different, things are just change. And somehow there's this narrative of like getting back to where we were before, because everything there was okay or something. And you know, I guess because I have a 2-year-old, I'm kind of in amongst the kind of cultural approach that parents have of like, okay, this is enough now. We're not going to be disrupted anymore. Let's shut this down and get a routine in place and make sure that nothing disrupts us because we need this and we need that. And I understand all of that. And I feel like somehow we think there's something wrong with being changed. Just more broadly, I think there's something about autonomy. And then I just think, why have I been? Why have I been so concerned about being changed? What is the thing? And I feel like there's some kind of deepening of our lives required to feel a different kind of support that's different to what I do each day and how I, you know, how many hours sleep I get or how, when I eat, or there's like a different kind of support that's necessary inside, different kind of relationship to my being that lets things be different and for me not to feel threatened by that. And I feel so dedicated in this moment with you, Justin, to going, you know, this poem is about every person. So when I read it, I could say, well, this is about you, Justin. And I can look at all kinds of people. I can look at my family members and the people in the street and the little boy playing football on the common or whatever, and say the same thing. When you came along, of course, new territory beckons, because you're a whole being, you're a whole mysterious, massive universe. How could that not change me? How could that not be the intention of beings with one another, given how vast we are, given how each of us has a whole entire world within us of stories, of difficulties, of relationships, of all the kind of things that happen in a human life? How can we not be for one another, to change one another, to affect one another, to alter one another? It just seems really obvious that that's what's going on, and yet we're in resistance to it. And it feels so kind of contracted and lonely and distorted to say, you keep your distance, Justin, don't you change me. I'm going to be just the way that I am. And I just feel very opened by this. Opened by this whole taking myself less seriously. I think that's what that means. It's like the pieces of me that suddenly went, oh, do you know what? I've tried for long enough to control all of this. It's not working. So I'm just going to let go and not, you know, not be too caught up in my own version of how I think things should go. Because clearly, I don't know, because it's not going that way. So I'm just going to see what it's like to let go. And then in the letting go, there's so much more available. There's so much more life to be worked with, to be received, to inspire me, to open me into.
Maybe, I think you said this, so I'm just saying it in a different way, but maybe what we're here for is to be changed.
Mm.
If there's a, when we're talking about the purpose of there being anything living, is that we live and we flower like flowers, we unfold. And that's the point. The point is that we get to unfold. And the story of autonomy makes that hard. But it's also born of the same story of oppression and domination and control.
Mm.
Because the moment, once we're trying to control one another, mm, in order to preserve our own autonomy, it's so hard to break out of the cycle, because why would I let you have control over me to make me the way you want me to be, rather than me receiving the gifts? Like, our being changed isn't, seems to me that the something that life is for is something very beautiful, which is the one that I am, and the particular shape and way that I am meets the one that you are. And there's a sort of reciprocity between us, which means that we're both left different from the experience.
Mm.
And I'm left different in the way that only one with my shape can be left different. You know, I'm going to be left differently to someone else who's with you in my way, and you're going to be made different by the way you are. So it's got a lot, how you become different, how you become changed has a lot to do with the one that you already are and the one that I am.
Yeah.
And so we're becoming more of the, are being changed by one another when it doesn't involve unhealthy power.
Mm.
When it's a kind of reciprocity, means that there's a way in which by me being with you, I get to become more of the one I can be. There are many that I can be, but I get deepened
mm-hmm.
by my encounter with you in a way that I could not possibly if I were on my own.
Mm.
And what a deep gift that is.
Mm.
And I keep on remembering, because I find it so gorgeous, one of the people who's such a model for this in me, who's no longer alive, is the teacher Hubert Dreyfus, who was a university lecturer, professor at the University of Berkeley in California. Mm-hmm. He was a philosophy professor. And I've listened to a lot of his teaching, and there are so many, you know, he'll be 30 years into teaching about a subject that he knows deeply, 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 deeply. And someone in the class will put up their hand and say, but I've just seen this. And if it's not a completely inane question, because sometimes the question doesn't come from a very genuine place, if it's like a genuine question, very often you can hear him go, oh my goodness, I've never seen that before. Wow, let me just take that in for a moment. Oh, maybe the way I've been looking at it is all back to front. Can hear him growing in his way.
Yeah.
Because of his encounter, it's lovely to listen to, and it's so refreshing, because it's partly because it's so unusual. Mm. But we'd have to rethink. I mean, we have to start with ourselves for this, and what it's a joyful. I'm also thinking about a little saying from my own tradition, from the Jewish tradition, which goes along the lines of who is wise, somebody who learns from everyone. That's what wisdom is, really.
Mm.
We have to do quite a lot of work in opening ourselves, but then it also sort of becomes incumbent upon us to be the ones who don't just do it for ourselves, but who make efforts to help other people. It's so paradoxical what I'm going to say. Maybe the way is by doing this ourselves, we become the openings in which other people can be invited into the possibility, also that we might all get up to this a lot more. Because I'm imagining what kind of society gets made.
Mm.
What kind of families get made when we take up this invitation that you're making?
Mm.
They're quite different to the way that we organize things now in lots and lots of ways.
Yeah. Oh gosh, it's like another altering conversation. It does feel really at the heart of things for me, this one. Opening to people changing me. In just the way that they change me, in just the way that I am changeable because I'm me. That thing you said is like, it's really challenging everything to think that way. And it's really, really unmanageable, if you know what I mean. Like, what it does is show me the complexity of everything, and that all of this reductionism of, you know, you could line 100 people up and say, right, you're all going to be changed by me. Ready, steady, go. But because each of them is an individual, it doesn't, the impact is different.
Yeah.
Because they're them. Each one is a them. Each one is a they. And then of course, it just comes to this kind of grand mystery feeling. Who knows what on earth is going on here? And so this is kind of... right now, my best bet is I'm going to go with, we're changing each other all the time anyway, so let's just welcome it and receive one another. And I'm going to let you keep on changing me, Justin. I'm going to give myself permission to be changed by being with you. And I'm going to do that as many times as I can each day. My goodness. Thank you, Justin, for understanding and getting in it with me like this. I'm so grateful. So I think this is around our time to finish. And we'll be back again next week, maybe at our normal time again, and probably at our normal time again. And in the meanwhile, just thank you everyone for your openness and your willingness to be changed, because I suspect if you're here that that thread is open in you to be listening to others and listening to others' conversations. So thank you so much for that. And we are certainly most definitely changed by you being here, if you're listening and watching and sending us messages or commenting or whatever. It really changes us every time. So thank you. And thank you, Justin, as always.
Thanks, Lizzie. Thanks, everyone.
See you next week.